We're Tim and Susan, and we love the Word, and we love living real.
So we invite you to join us as we look at the Word this week and life this week.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Susan.
I have a question for you.
Not again.
No, this is like something I've been waiting for the podcast because I just am really curious to know what your response was. So last night we went to a grief share event at our church. Okay.
Yeah.
And we divided up in small groups afterwards. We wanted to support the ministry. And I have had my own share of grief with my sister, you know, passed away and everything. So we just were there to support and meet people and greet people and be welcoming and everything. It was a fantastic event. But here comes my question. Okay. I have to give the lead up, you know. But in the one of the questions that was asked in my small group was, what is one word, when you think about the holidays, what is one word that comes to mind? Or what is one word of like how you feel about the holidays? Or what is one word about the holidays? So I would like to know what your one word is, because now we've entered November now. It is November the 5th today? Yeah, 5th today. And so I'm just curious. Now we turn our faces towards Thanksgiving and Christmas, and they're coming. And they asked this question last night, and I just want to know what your answer is. One word, go.
Man, one word.
Okay, this is like free holidays. Association. I gave you so much time.
I don't
have
free association.
Ugh,
so okay. One word for
next
the
week's
holidays.
Podcast, I'm going to do free association with Tim. We're going to have 30 seconds of free association. Just
that would be one
word.
Answer.
One word. What do you feel about that? What do you think about the holidays?
Probably traditions.
Traditions. Okay, that's a good word. That's a good word. I mean, I think that in our group, somebody said family. Somebody said, I think somebody might have said traditions. And then I just sat there and thought, oh, I better not say my one word. And I feel like my one word was the only negative one word in the whole entire room. And like holidays coming are giving everybody these warm fuzzies. And I think they said, yeah, family and tradition and celebration and like warmth and things. And do you know what my one word was?
I have no idea.
You can't. Okay, think of me and think of holidays. And here's free association. What do you think Susan's one word for the holidays would be?
Messy.
Oh, very close. See? And I think when I said my one word, I think that Lindsay was leading our group. She had never been to Grief Share, but she was asked to lead our group. She did a great job. But the one word that came to my mind when they said, think of one word, immediately, hassle. It's a hassle. And I just thought, I am
so
the
Lindsay
grumpiest.
Lindsay got asked to lead, not you.
She did.
They knew because she,
exactly. Because I'm like, this is just a hassle. Why do we even have to do these? Listen, everybody just go home and don't do anything. And it's so much easier. But I think I was the only person that had a negative. I mean, here we are at Grief Share and things that are really difficult for some people. And the things as they were, that's the whole point of last night was facing the holidays during grief. And so I thought that there was going to be actually some really serious deep answers, and everybody had these really warm fuzzy answers, and I just think it's a hassle, and I felt really bad for
thinking that. let's back this up for a little bit.
Yeah.
What is the one word you would describe holidays when you were 30?
Hassle.
What is one word that you would describe holidays when you were 20?
Fun. Celebrations.
Okay.
Happiness.
Okay.
Uh-oh. What broke between 20 and 30? I don't know.
Well, I just know that you got married to me at 20 and life became a hassle. So I don't know. So what would be your one word to describe holidays at 10?
Oh, like excited. Totally excited.
So aren't you excited?
I think
who
because
stole your childhood joy?
I wow, I didn't know we were going into this.
Well, you thought you were coming at me. I'm gonna come at you.
I think what happens is when it becomes my responsibility, or it's now in my household that I have to do it. And I don't know. I feel like I think it caught me that I was the person who had a not great word to say about the holidays, and I don't even have a specific reason of like, this is going to be a really hard holiday season, which I think is valid for some people. And it's not going to be our easiest holiday season, but I don't know. I just am like, really, I'm okay if we skip it. And the Grinch saying that, but I'm not against it. I don't know.
We're going to stop the podcast right now.
Okay.
And I'm getting the tree out of the attic.
Intervention. Okay.
And we are going to decorate the tree. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for that. Yeah. Okay. But I don't know. I was surprised myself that I was the only person with that thought. So I would like to know, maybe that's the question we can pose for this week's when we pose, you know, just to ask the podcast listeners out there, like, what is their one word? I'm curious.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe I'll ask it on Facebook. I'll get so many more answers if I just ask it on my Facebook without a link, because sometimes Facebook keeps links hidden. So let's not do that. So, okay. So that happened. Speaking of holidays, did you see on Facebook the holiday pair of scissors that I posted?
I did see the holiday scissors.
And I asked, what are people's thoughts about this?
I don't know how you can't have fun in a world that has holiday scissors.
No. Scented. Holiday, I mean, like, they're scented like peppermint, which I just think is a tragic idea. I mean, I don't even understand how that's a good idea.
So let's walk folks through, just in case they haven't seen it. What are we looking at here?
I'm trying to pull it up. Sorry, we're just taking a moment here. These are made by Westcott, who makes scissors.
Yeah.
They're known for scissors.
They're a reputable scissor company.
Scissor company. And these are called Sniffs. And they come in peppermint. And they have peppermints. And they come in green or red. They are on Amazon. They're also at Walmart. Now, in the article I read... Oh, so that's... I should say. So they are sniffable scissors. Good news is, they're blunt-tipped. Like, instead of being pointed, which you can buy either plate. I'm like... But they're 5-inch scissors for kids. These are kids' scissors.
So
scented.
I'm trying to figure out. Well, first of all,
yeah.
Have you bought these for anybody?
No.
Are you hoping anyone buys them for
you? No.
Would it make the holidays more fun and less of a hassle?
I think it's one of the most ridiculous things that I've seen invented lately. I just think, like, what good can come of this? And I love the comments, and I just tried, and I literally gave a love to everyone who commented, because I had my own personal opinion. But I think that most people agree that there doesn't seem to be anything good that could come out of kids' scissors that are scented.
Yeah, there were several mamas that were concerned kids might do with
scented
scissors.
Thought they were just going to smell it and end up clipping their nose. You're the one who thought they were going to stick both ends, like open them up and stick one... What are they called?
You were thinking it was going to be
one end and the other end up the two nostrils. Like,
you were thinking it was going to be a horizontal sniff.
I was
pretty sure it was going to be a vertical sniff.
Exactly. That I was like, well, I haven't even thought about that.
The nose and the end of the scissors are designed for her vertical engagement. So I'm trying to figure out how they made them. I'm thinking that maybe somebody sent an email or something to the company and said, your scissors stink.
Yeah.
They're terrible. They stink. And someone passed it up the chain and said, they say that our scissors stink. Let's make them peppermint flavored.
But listen, they have soft handles for improved grip. And it easily cuts through paper and craft materials. Now, what happened is, I was reading an article about this, and people were kind of mildly outraged about this.
Okay, if you're reading something online, no matter what it is, people are mildly to significantly outraged.
Well, what happened is, these are peppermint in red and green for Christmas, but there is also a 12-unit variety pack, which has strawberry, orange, grape, and blueberry, and they're available at Walmart, because evidently it seems like the peppermint ones, they first got released, but then they've been removed from the company's website. I think there was some difficulty. I think people were finally like, whoa, we should stop smelling the scissors that will cut the child's face.
What was the markers that we used to have as kids that super, super duper flavor? Yeah. What if you had those markers with those scissors?
How many kids walked around with blue streaks up their nose because they've been sniffing those markers, and that blueberry one smelled... I like the grape, but I mean, the lemon was good too. So
if you cut something out, colored it with those markers, and then glued it with rubber cement, that is the flavor of the season.
Yes, yeah. Anyhow, it's just a really dumb idea. And evidently, they did get pulled from the website, and Walmart still had some online. But when I clicked the link to go to Walmart to buy them, I actually could not get them. there either. But I'm thinking, how many people do you think they had to pass by approval and
that's
making
what I'm saying.
Before they actually came up and said, hey, here's the scissors that smell good. And then all these grown people sat around desks and tables and just smelled scissors without harming themselves.
But I'm also going to tell you, when was the last time that you did a podcast about scissors?
Today. Right now.
I think there's
right
a fact
now.
Of the matter is that they've got people talking about
yes.
Westcott Scissors.
Yes.
Brought to you by Westcott Scissors.
You're right. You're right. Oh, yeah. Maybe we'll get a sponsor from this one.
Maybe.
I don't think we said anything positive, though. So, okay. One more really quick thing before we get into the word.
Yeah.
I just want to let everyone know you are going on a plane trip tomorrow.
I am.
And
people like to know that.
And you are leaving on a jet plane.
Yes.
I don't know when you'll be back because I haven't written down on my calendar yet. But I was just trying to put a little John Denver in there for anyone familiar with it. Okay. That you're leaving from the new New Orleans airport terminal, which is actually an entire airport. And we don't even know how that goes, but you're going to go on inaugural day.
Yeah. It opens tomorrow and I fly out tomorrow.
How do you feel about that?
I want a t-shirt.
I don't think they're going to give you a t-shirt.
The thing is, I believe that t-shirts will be given out.
You think?
I just believe in t-shirts.
Yeah.
I believe that the t-shirt fairy is going to be there.
I don't think so. I think your flight's too late for a t-shirt.
But my flight isn't until 9 p.m.
Yeah.
And I think that all the t-shirts are going to be gone. I think that I'm going to walk through an airport that is littered with the empty bags of free t-shirts that I never got. It is going to be sadness.
But all of those bags have been cut open with smelling scissors, so...
No, it's a big day tomorrow. I mean, it's
a
big day for the airport. It's a new terminal. It's not a new airport because the runway has stayed the same, even though it's a building on the other side of the runway.
It's not completely connected to the current airport, which actually will just sit empty with rats infesting it for some length of time, I suppose.
That's not a future statement.
Oh, no,
that's
a
current
it.
Statement.
Yeah, I think if you've heard our previous podcast, I think we talked about the roaches. I mean, the roaches and the rats in the New Orleans airport, so... Okay, yeah. I don't know. Stay tuned. I think if we follow you, maybe you'll post on Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah, on Instagram,
and let
I'll
us
probably
know
follow the day.
How the inaugural day. I think my mom thought, wow, that is a dumb man who wants to fly out on the first day of the opening of the airport. But you also bought your ticket before we knew that today was the day.
Who knew what random day they would open it? But it's supposed to be a fun day tomorrow. My brother Mark... Shout out to Mark. Works for Southwest Airlines.
Shout out to Southwest. Man, and, we need sponsors. Look at all these places.
And they're sending all of their premium planes for their first flights tomorrow. They've got planes that are decorated for different states they fly to.
Yes.
And so the Louisiana one, the Arizona one, the Florida one are all going to be there.
Yeah.
And so he's like, hey, you're probably going to be one of those planes. I'm like, not by the time of day that I'm flying out.
9 o'clock, no. So, unless there's been some major delay and problem at the airport, which you really don't
and
want.
It's not going to fly back through. But it's a big day tomorrow.
That's it. All right. We have covered so many opening topics. Do you have anything from the Word?
I do.
Great. Go ahead.
Been reading through John with a couple of guys, several guys in the life of the church, and so probably every once in a while I'll mention something from the Gospel of John.
Do you know that
John.
John is my favorite Gospel?
It was a 25% chance.
There you go. And when I found out that you were doing John, I was like, can I join the men's group? But
You were upset that I was reading John.
I was.
Like, you own John.
I just was like, wait. What are you doing, John, without me? Hold on. Yeah, that's kind of how I felt.
The Gospel of John, this morning we were looking at chapter 2, and I think chapter 2, the whole, man, chapter 1, fabulous. But then in chapter 2, it moves into these really, it's almost, we're so used to reading it, we miss some of the suddenness that comes with the text. And part of the suddenness comes with the text is the beginning of John is talking about the eternal nature of Jesus, and he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The disciples, a couple of John's disciples follow after Jesus. And then here we are in John chapter 2. Two significant events happen. The first is the wedding at Cana, where Jesus and his disciples show up. Jesus has not done any miracles up to this time, which I think is really interesting that he has disciples pre-miracles, pre-public ministry, just because John the Baptist said, hey, that's the guy, follow him. Mm-hmm. And they followed on John the Baptist's testimony. Man, what a great word that is in terms of, I wonder who is following Jesus solely based on my conviction of who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. But in that moment there at Cana, he does perform his first miracle. It's the turning the water into wine. And I got to tell you, there's a whole lot about that that I don't understand fully. I don't understand fully why that's the first miracle, why that's the most significant miracle. I have some thoughts, and we could talk about that. But the second part of the chapter is when Jesus goes into the temple, and man, he starts flipping over tables.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I wondered about with the guys was, if you had a chance to be ringside right there with Jesus in one of these two events, which one would you choose?
Hmm.
To be there for the first miracle when Jesus turns water into wine,
okay,
or to be there when Jesus walks to the temple and flips stuff over,
okay,
and says, this is not what God's house should look like.
And what which did one they of those say? Two?
There was a kind of a mixture on that, but I just wonder, what would you say between those two?
I don't know. Maybe the water into wine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why
just
is that?
Just to be the first miracle and to see the signs. I think flipping over the table was not necessarily a miracle that was happening at that time.
Yeah.
And so I think to see the miracle side of it as opposed to the teaching, correcting, rebuking side of it, you know, I don't know.
I think I was fascinated by the two of them being combined so closely together.
Yeah.
The first one, like you said, it is a miracle, but it's not even a healing miracle. I think mostly the wine, the water that Jesus turns into wine at the end is better than the first wine that they had. And they're like, wait a minute, the first is always best. And Jesus is saying, listen, as good as what has come to this point in time is, what is here now is better than all that's come before it. I think that's the primary theological teaching that's there. But the idea that, I don't know, the wedding seems like a really low-key place to start his public ministry. So to be there for that is really interesting. But then immediately we see his character. So we see this taste, so to speak, this taste of his power, and then this presentation of his character and his priorities, and those two things.
Like a taste combined. And see.
Yeah.
See, taste and see.
So,
now, I think it's interesting, the thing I have noted here, which you didn't say, but I can't not say something about John. But I just have a note there about the cleansing of the temple. Like, how many times had he been going up there all of his life? But now, because his time had come, he responded differently in that. I mean, I don't believe that, like, those happenings where he turned over the tables and the selling and the things that were going on in the temple, that just all of a sudden started that day. He'd probably been seeing that for his 30-plus years. And it was this day he walked in, but it was also after the miracle happened, and now he knew, okay, now his time has come, and now his, I don't know, his just actions and his calling is different.
His zeal for his father's house.
Yeah.
But isn't it interesting, you know, you just kind of wonder, Jesus spent that time when he was 12 in the temple.
Right.
You kind of wonder if he wasn't asking some of those guys, hey, all the stuff you're selling around here, is that really a good idea?
Right.
And he may have...
Because, I mean, you know, he's seen it. It wasn't... And this was the day that he decided, okay, no more.
Yeah,
and again, I think there has to do something with him now being miracles out in the open, calling disciples, you know, that his time had come, that now he can respond to it and react to it. I don't know. I wasn't there.
I think the one I would probably choose, and I don't fully know why, is the time in the temple, because that is so close to his heart, so that's where I'd want to be. But I also just wondered, if we only had one of those two stories, what would we be missing in terms of our picture of Jesus? And I think there is some importance to that water into wine. There is something importance of his caring for the details of that family and that event. And that, I don't know, there's just something right about Jesus attended this wedding, and he helped the wedding go smoothly and right. And I like that part of it as well. So those were just interesting two pictures next to each other of Jesus and how they fit together. So
it's,
I like that.
So good. I just love John. You know I do. But, okay, I'm going to bring us to Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1. I have been doing a course. Somebody brought to my attention. Actually, it was the lady who's in charge of Grief Share, Miss Iris, said that she was doing a class on Hebrews, a study in Hebrews from Dallas Theological Seminary. And it's just a free 8-week study that you can sign up and take the courses. And the professor, Dr. Toussaint, teaches it there. And so I've signed up. I've completed 6 weeks. I have 2 left to finish the course. And I've made 100 on all my quizzes at the end of every lecture. So I'm very proud of that. But I just wanted to go over a little bit. I was hesitant to touch it today because I know two other people who are going to be doing the course, at least, that listen to this podcast, they're just going to have to endure it, even if they do it. These are just things that I picked up from the lecture, and also having just completed that study in Numbers, I believe that Numbers chapter 1 through 10 and the book of Hebrews just really walk hand in hand.
Yeah.
It's like they're holding hands. I don't know how you could read Hebrews without reading Numbers 1 through 10. And I don't know how you can understand Numbers 1 through 10 without the New Testament and the New Covenant and the New Way and the superiority of Christ with that. They're just so hand in hand. So I want to look at the very first verses, which are fabulous. Hebrews.
There's a quality to the opening verses of John.
Yes.
And there's a quality to the opening verses of Hebrews.
That you both just think, just, like, they sing. Whoa, they sing. So good. Okay. So Hebrews 1:1-4, but I'm going to look at really 3 and 4. But long ago, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets at different times and in different ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. And then we start in verse 3 that we're going to look out here. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he became superior to the angels, just as the name he inherited is more excellent than theirs. And actually, what we're going to look at is just verse 3, just that little verse. And it says, I just have 4 things that the Son is. And this wasn't even, it was kind of in the lecture, but it's kind of just implied. But I want to look at it more closely.
Dr. Toussaint might want to incorporate that next time.
He might want to use these notes. Yeah, he might. Actually, I mean, I think he taught all of it. I just kind of summarized it in this verse. But the Son is, first of all, the radiance of God's glory. And that Greek word there is doxa. And for the glory, and it's just the majesty and the sense, the absolute perfection. Like the Son is the radiance of God's glory. He is just shining out the perfection of God. I love the word glory. I've always loved the word glory, the way it's used in different places in the Bible. I love that. So that's what Jesus is. He is the radiance. He is shining God's perfection. Then the second thing it says that he is the exact expression of his nature. And that's as if you would take like putty or clay. You know how you have like a key or something you want to make an impression of, like as a kid, like you'd have silly putty or something. You'd rub it over there and then you would have this mold that was exactly the mold of the key. I mean, that's what this is saying here. It's not like Jesus and God are similar in some ways. It's saying it's the exact expression.
The word there is exact. Yeah.
Exactly. They are the exact thing, expression of his nature. So he is exact representation of who God is.
Yeah, the ESV says exact imprint of his
nature. Yes, that's so imprint. So mine says expression, but that's it. Like to make an imprint and then to have 2 copies of the same thing. Then thirdly in this verse, so he is the radiance of God's glory. He's the exact expression of his nature. And the third thing is he's sustaining all things by his word. And we could just stop right there. And mine says his powerful word.
Yeah, the word of his power.
What does yours say?
By the word of his power.
Sustaining all things by the word of his power. So, I mean, just his word. He's sustaining. Jesus is holding and sustaining all things. That's the character of Jesus as well. So that's 3 things. And then the fourth one. And I just love this, and I don't know, maybe you've preached this, and I've missed it. Maybe I've heard this in other studies, and I've missed it. But I was talking to Nikki about this week, and Nikki said, hey, in Hebrews, did you notice this? And I was like, get out of here. Dr. Toussaint just did a lesson and a lecture, and he covered it in chapter 1. I've never heard this before. But the other thing is, I want to look in the verse and see what it is. Sustaining all things by his powerful word, after making purifications for sins, after he died on the cross and was resurrected, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So the fourth characteristic is, where is he? Like, where, you know, we have to say about Jesus in this, that where is he? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. So we understand his sitting, but the way Hebrews puts this together in juxtaposition is very much, he says this again several places that he's sitting. It talks about in Numbers, how in Numbers, if you go back and look at the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies, there were never any chairs there. There were never any seats. There was never a place for the priest to sit down and rest. They were constantly making intercession, doing sacrifices. I mean, they went to their tents at night and slept, but they were always interceding and responding and making sacrifices and being present on behalf of the Israelites to God. It was never completed inside the tabernacle, inside of the Holy of Holies. Nobody ever sat down. It was never like, oh, there's the row of pews where they took their rest in between the things that they were doing. When you were there in the tabernacle in the Holy of Holies, you were always active and always had to continually do this. Right. But here we know Jesus did this. He made the purifications for sins, and then he went and sat down because it was completed and done. And that just, I don't know where I ever missed that. I did that whole study on Numbers, and it never stood out to me that there were never chairs there and sit down. But the whole thing of then he sat down, the work was completed and done. And nobody ever has to do any of that again. So I just, that first chapter is, it has a lot. It has a lot. That's only the first four verses.
There's some reference to Jesus, you know, God in creation on the seventh day. He rests. It's done. It is finished. And again, here in Hebrews 12, it says, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the Father.
And I think I just covered, the lecture today was on chapter 9. We finished chapter 9 and chapter 10. And again, it says that somewhere, I believe it's in chapter 9, and I can't find it right now. But again, it says, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. Again, so just this constant, let's see. Yeah, on chapter 10, verse 12. But this man, Jesus, after offering one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. If you could really count how many times it says that through Scripture, we should make a note. Okay. It is finished. It is done.
I like that emphasis on one sacrifice.
That's it. So, I don't know. Just a great book. It's been a good study. So, I don't know if I'll bring it next week or not, because I want to kind of touch other things that other people I know aren't studying currently either. So, we shall see. That's all I got.
Well, that's
good. I feel like I talked a lot. I think I did. That happens. All right. Hey, why don't we take a break, and we will come back for wrongs and strongs.
There we go.
We might start with strongs, though. Sometimes I like to end on a sad note.
Because it's a hassle.
It is a hassle.
All right. Sometimes life is wrong. Sometimes life is strong. Sometimes it's a mixture someplace in between.
Yep.
So let me just mention a couple today. Nothing really fancy, but we were having staff meeting today. And somehow as we were planning some end of the year.
Wait, is this your wrong or strong?
This is my wrong.
Okay. Go ahead.
This is my wrong.
I know. You always like to end on a happy note.
That's the kind of guy that I am.
I know. Okay. Go ahead.
So we were doing some planning end of the year stuff, which included some Christmas stuff, and some reason I happened to go off on a little bit of a rant here and then there and then over there about some Christmas related issues. And
is it a hassle?
It's not a hassle, but it's a distraction sometimes. Okay. And I'm not going to go into all of the Christmas traditions that I was ranting about.
Okay.
But while I was ranting, one of the people at the table said, well, aren't you just an angry little elf?
We are the worst couple for holidays, and I think it's all a hassle, and you're an angry little elf. Oh, wow.
Well, yeah, but everybody just kind of laughed. Except for me, because I'm an angry little elf.
Okay.
And so that was
Did you feel corrected in your spirit? Like, okay, you're right. Did you feel convicted and corrected? Like, ooh, I'm glad they, like, you know what? I needed that.
No, I needed that.
Or did you feel like, no, I'm right about this.
I'm dead right about the stuff I was talking about.
Okay, that does not surprise me.
Yeah.
I know you enough to know that doesn't surprise me.
I am dead right about those things. And then the strong, though, was the coffee-rubbed hamburger.
What?
That I had just before staff meeting that may have contributed to some of the passion of my rants that made me an angry little elf.
I think that we went out to eat with staff Friday night, and I had just had some coffee that afternoon, and I think I was still like, I could not remember. I was like shaking my legs so much, and I was like, I've just had this lot of coffee. They're going to cut us off the coffee.
Yeah. It was pretty tasty, though.
Okay. Where did you go?
Black and Brew in downtown.
Have you ever had that coffee rubbed burger?
No. But I wanted to try it.
And was it good?
It was pretty good.
What do you usually get there?
I usually get the Blackened Brew because it's their namesake burger.
I haven't been there yet, you know.
Come join staff.
No, that's okay. Okay. Well, guess what?
What?
I wanted to finish with my wrong just to mix it up because I like to do it vice versa. But if you're on a coffee theme, I have to continue the coffee theme. And my wrong is about coffee. Wrong. So my wrong is that PJ's has their new Christmas holiday coffees out because I'm not really a pumpkin spice latte girl. I'm not really a
pumpkin. So you're happy for the fall season to pass?
Yeah, it's a hassle. No, I don't mind like the fall. I make my pumpkin bread from scratch with real pumpkins. So, I mean, like, that's like a tradition. But I don't love pumpkin pie and pumpkin spice. But I'll eat it. It's fine. But I love Christmas season. Like, Dairy Queen has their peppermint chip blizzard. Chick-fil-A gets their peppermint chocolate milkshake. There's going to be a theme here. Yes. And so, PJ's came out with their giant sign that they have peppermint bark lattes and peppermint bark velvet ices. And I was like, I am all about that. It's coffee, maybe some mocha, maybe some peppermint. I'm going to like these. And
sounds
I
went, like, what could go wrong?
What could go wrong? Except a little caffeine high. But I went to PJ's today and I was like, hey, can you tell me about the peppermint bark velvet ice? Because I like granitas, which are like the frozen coffee thing. And so I'm like, can you, maybe it's that with peppermint and chocolate or something. I don't know. So I asked and they were like, well, it's a peppermint such and such with white chocolate. And I was done right there. I didn't even listen to the rest of what they said because you know how I feel about white chocolate.
So white chocolate ever?
No. No.
Chocolate dipped pretzels.
No. Nope. Skip it. Nope. You can have those, which I know you enjoy them. So, I mean, it works out well here. But so then I said, okay, well, fine. Tell me about it was warm today. So I was going to get the cold drink. But then I was like, all right, tell me about the peppermint bark latte. The latte. Like, well, it's peppermint and white chocolate.
It's very seasonal.
White chocolate.
It's very seasonal.
Oh, I was so disappointed because I went really with like peppermint and chocolate and coffee in my head. And I just said, can I just get a small granita thin? Thank you, please. And my small granita is fine. And I really, really like it. And I enjoy drinking it. But I'm so disappointed that PJ's is not going to have anything I need this season for the holidays. So that is definitely wrong.
So I'm still thinking about my coffee-rubbed burger.
Yeah. Did it have white chocolate on it, too? Because that would have been a really big mess.
It didn't. But I'm pretty sure that the caffeine cooks off, doesn't it?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know. Coffee rubbed? Did it taste like coffee?
I didn't taste a lot of coffee. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there wouldn't have been grounds in it. I have no idea. You'll have to Google how do they make a coffee ground burger.
Yeah.
Coffee rubbed burger, not grounds.
They probably rub coffee on it.
That's it. All right. So I have a strong.
You have a strong.
I have a strong. And it's a very serious strong, actually. So I hated to end on a serious note right now, but my strong is that we have so many people right now with my mom having cancer and everything that are praying for us and just lifting us up and encouraging us and everything. And that is just, it's just really a serious strong. Like I felt it today. I had a lot of texts and emails and just conversations with people. And I just, it's a very serious strong. So it comes with a strong, with a thank you. Thank you to everybody who's been praying for our family and just and thinking about us. My mom's scheduled for a pretty major surgery coming up next Wednesday on November the 13th. And that's coming. And
week
so,
from tomorrow,
yeah. Yeah, we'll try to get our podcast done before that. But yeah, I just want to say thanks for that. So it's a really sincere strong. So
well, we appreciate it. You know, people have often talked about, sometimes they talk about how being in ministry is a difficult thing and it's a lot of weight and things like that. But there's also a part of it that people do care for the pastor and his family. Plus, it's not just being pastor and family, but it's, you have great and wonderful friends that that invest in you and love you and care for you. And so it's good. And your parents have great and wonderful friends that love them and care for them. So it's a hard season, but those folks loving on us and caring for us make a big difference.
Yep, that's it. So thanks, y'all. And we will get this posted, and then we will be back next week. I think I'm definitely going to ask, what's your one word?
There you go.